Jake. Your father always said he wanted you to be a pilot.
He said a lot of things. I'm not a hero like he was.
The Kaiju. They're gonna come back. I'm not gonna be stuck waiting for someone else to come save my ass.
Cadets, you better gear up.
This is the way the world ends.
How'd they get into our world?
Someone let them in. Someone from our world.
Who is that?
Definitely not one of ours.
Let's do this.
This is your chance to make things right.
We're gonna need more pilots.
We have them.
There are pilots we remember as legends, but they didn't start out that way. They started out like us. This is our time to make a difference. Do you understand? Jaeger pilots, do you understand?
One way to find out.
That's what I'm talking about!
And that was a clip from Pacific Rim Uprising, produced by Guillermo del Toro, who directed the original Pacific Rim. And I like giant monsters battling. They're not really robots because there are people inside them.
Yes.
So I enjoyed the first film. What are you hearing about this, Ron?
Well, I hear they spent $150 million putting the best special effects money can buy up on the big screen. And, you know, the reviews are always going to be lukewarm for these kind of movies. I mean, like Transformers movies, right? They get terrible reviews and then do $1 billion worldwide. That's what we expect out of Pacific Rim. It'll be a blockbuster worldwide.
Now, one of the interesting things in terms of reading about this movie is that I saw a headline that said that Pacific Rim Uprising is China bait.
Yep.
And meaning that the Chinese audience is going to basically make this a very profitable movie.
The China market is fast becoming the largest in the world. I mean, U.S. box office has ruled worldwide box office forever. And now China is poised to become the new leader in terms of the number of theaters that are being built in China and the people that are loving American movies in those theaters. You know, that's where their bread and butter is going to come for a movie like this.
And the original Pacific Rim actually did kind of poorly, and not poorly in the United States, but it wasn't a big, huge blockbuster hit.
No.
And if it had been just based on the money made here, there probably wouldn't have been a sequel.
Exactly. 75% of the original movie's receipts came from foreign markets. So they don't care if they're only going to do $20 million here in the U.S. as long as they do $100 million in China.
So again, what are you hearing about this in terms of the critics and also in terms of the tracking for the U.S.?
Yeah, the tracking is right now a new number one position. I mean, Black Panther's been there 5 weeks in a row, and that'll drop under 20 million. Pacific Rim does a little bit more than 20 million. The reviews on Rotten Tomatoes right now are 45, which is right in the middle. You know, some people like it, some people don't.
So moving on to Midnight Sun, this is a new dramatic romance that's hitting the screen.
Yeah, teen romance, we'll call it. A young female who has a condition that prevents her from being out in the sunlight has been falling for the boy next door. Actually, that's Bella Thorne, and the boy next door is Patrick Schwarzenegger, Arnold and Maria's son. And so it's going to turn into that, you know, typical teen romance movie, which is going to work pretty well, I think. PG-13.
And then I was intrigued by this title, Sherlock Gnomes. And I looked at it and I thought, this has got to be some small little animated movie. But then I see that it's got the voices of Emily Blunt, Johnny Depp, James McAvoy, and Michael Caine.
Right. And this is a sequel to the very successful Gnomeo and Juliet. Perhaps you've heard of them.
Well, see, I didn't even know that. I thought this was, you know, new stuff.
This Well, a new adventure for all of the garden ornaments that are they're coming up missing. And so they call in Sherlock Gnomes and Gnome Watson to solve the case. And, you know, it's going to be silly fun for kids. There's going to be some adult humor in it that the kids won't get. So you won't fall asleep if you're taking your young children.
And then I see that there's a horror thriller called Unsane. Now, did you know, Ron, that there's a punk rock group called Unsane?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So no relation.
No relation. Here.
So this is Steven Soderbergh and his iPhone. Apparently he made it all, shot it all on an iPhone or iPhones. I'm sure he souped them up a little bit and did a little editing to make it look good enough for the big screen. But this is getting the best reviews of all these new movies. It's at 79% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's the Claire Foy plays a young woman who's in an insane asylum against her will, and there's this whole reality versus fantasy thing that's going on about her sort of incarceration. R-rated horror thriller, they're calling it.
Now, one of the interesting things about Steven Soderbergh is several years ago, he announced his retirement from filmmaking.
Right.
And then he did something, he did an online project, mm-hmm. and now here we are with his iPhone.
Yeah, he's pushing the boundaries here. He's an innovator. He's a true artist, a filmmaker, and I'm not surprised the critics are liking his his feet into horror.
Okay, and then Paul, Apostle of Christ. This is a dramatic film that Jim Caviezel is back.
Yeah, he's not playing Jesus this time. He's playing Luke, and James Faulkner plays Paul. This is the last days of Paul's life. He's in prison. Luke comes to visit him. They're trying to keep the Christian faith going in light of the persecution in Rome. And so all of this sort of leading up to Easter a week from Sunday. And faith-based movie last week, I Can Only Imagine, was the number one movie in West Michigan, beat out Tomb Raider and Black Panther. So
and it's number three on the overall box.
Yeah, it was tracking to do $3 million and did $17 million. So
we'll speak about this phenomenon of faith-based movies. It's really kind of ramped up over the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, there's been some huge successes, and then it kind of petered out a little bit where the titles, like we just did a Samson big screen movie about that character in the Bible, and nobody came to see that, but God's not.
That sounds more like the sword and sandal days, though.
Yeah, well, you know, but it's a cool Bible story, you know, from the Old Testament, and yet here comes God's Not Dead 3 next week, and so they've made, you know, three movies on that theme, and they've all been pretty successful. The first one did $100 million worldwide, so it depends on the content. I Can Only Imagine was the best-selling song, Christian song ever, sold 2.5 million records. So there's a brand there. People have heard that song. They know what the song is. And that's what propelled that to number three at the box office, or number one in West Michigan. So we'll see if Paul can do that. I'm sure God's Not Dead 3 will be good next week.
All right. And this weekend is the final IMAX Explorer series. Am I correct?
Yes, you're right. Beautiful Planet, Saturday and Sunday morning matinees happen this weekend. And before we meet again next week, Scott, Wednesday night, a rare early release for Ready Player One from Steven Spielberg, which I think you're going to like. Good sci-fi movie.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
See you at the movies.